That is, Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12, the beautiful chapter. Again tonight, God bless you for coming. And I'm gonna be merciful, because you sure gave me mercy. Everybody's got their Bible, said amen. Those that don't, said amen. I'm just going to let you off tonight. Tonight's the night of mercy. But I'm not going to do it tomorrow night. If you don't have your Bible tomorrow night, you have to give some extra in some sort of missionary or good cause for the gospel. Those that are saints. Praise God. Praise God. Would you just one more time say, cry out and shout. Thou inhabitant of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Do you feel him right here tonight? The God of Jacob is here. The God of Abraham is here. The God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The God of Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Gideon, Samuel, Eli. That God is in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Tonight, open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, commencing with verse 50. And I want to, if I could, in some way, without appearing sacrilegious, I'm dedicating this message to my dear mother tonight. Prayed me into the church. Chapter 15, the 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then, everybody say then, shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Everybody say victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Where is thy victory? sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How many believe we're going somewhere? How many believe the clouds are going to be the dust of our feet? From verse 54 and 5, 1 Corinthians 15. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? I want the Holy Ghost to help me tonight, and He's going to do it. I feel Him all over the place up here tonight. And if you'll let Him, He'll bless you right where you're standing. I've got a kind of a peculiar text, so listen carefully from 55th verse, rather 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? You may not grab it like I grabbed it. It may not mean as much to you as it does to me. The Lord gave it to me, and I'm going to try to give it to you. I'm going to preach tonight on a subject entitled Dancing on Tombstones. Brother, you ain't seen me dance yet to the great resurrection morning when I come out of the grave. Oh, damn! Where is thy sting? Oh, grave! Where is thy victory? Hallelujah! I'm asking a dear friend of mine, Brother Cannon, partner in several of my public discussions, a man I love dearly. Thank God for his studious approach to the Word of God, to pray for us tonight. Brother Cannon, pray and help him pray that God will bless his Word.
Our Father, first we want to thank you for the ministry of the man that's about to unburden his heart unto us here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the dedication that has made him able as he is in the Word of God. Now I know there are needs are here tonight. There are many needs, but those needs are met in the Word of God. Now I pray that you'll open every heart to receive with meekness that engrafted Word that is able to save the soul and to accomplish anything else that is in need in this congregation tonight. Move in your great power and anoint my brother as he administers to us tonight that word that's able to save the soul. For your name we will receive the praise and the honor and the glory for all that can be accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen.
And everybody said,
oh, death,
where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You want to sing that one of these days? You may be seated. Lord bless you. The inevitability of death is a foregone physiological conclusion. Stated simply, you're mortal, mundane, earthy, and you're going to die. Hebrews 9:27 settled it for all time. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. God told Adam in the garden, 3:19 of Genesis, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. 2 Samuel 14:14 said, for we must needs die, and there is water spilt upon the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. David and Joshua both said the same thing. 1 Kings 2:2 and Joshua 23:14 on their deathbeds. I go the way of all the earth. So whether we be king or pauper, educated or illiterate, white or black, red or yellow, you're going to die. It's inevitable. I read a poem one time by a lady by the name of Jean Scott. I'd like to share it with you. It talks of death. She wrote, I looked back over my shoulder and saw death yet a long way, seemingly as harmless as a child at play. And my soul warned, he will draw near someday. I looked back over my shoulder and saw death standing still as a scavenger that eats and knows his fill. And my soul counseled, hunger again he will. I looked back over my shoulder and saw death in seeming retreat, as one who knows his victim has swift feet. My soul cried in alarm, death knows no defeat. I looked back over my shoulder and saw death suddenly clearer. Somehow time was his friend and he drew nearer. And my soul whispered, be wise in fear. I looked back over my shoulder and saw death, patient and grim, as one who knows he has to wait to win. And my soul anguished, prepare to meet him. And then I looked back over my shoulder, and of death I saw no trace. I rejoiced. Somehow I had won the race. And then I turned around, and death and I stood face to face. Those are true words tonight. Every one of us mortals in this building must acknowledge death is on our trail. No matter your name, no matter your money, no matter your education, social, political, position in life, you're going to die. You may leave this building tonight and go into eternity before the sun rises. Proverbs 27 verse 1 declared, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Jesus accentuated it in Matthew 6:34. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. James 4:14 again reminds us, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Some of you old-timers can relate to this. Job 7 verse 6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. And again, he summarized it in the best philosophical fashion that transcends all the philosophers. Job 14 and 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. We're reminded in Ecclesiastes 3 and 20, all go unto one place. All are of the dust and all turn to dust again. I don't care if you're in perfect health. If you feel good, you're going to go to dust one of these days. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7 tells us what happens when you die. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. That's the spirit of life. May I remind you in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8, there is no man that hath power over death. I don't care if your name is a Rockefeller, or your name is a Longfellow, or a Shakespeare, or a Beethoven, or a Chopin, or a Bach, or a Tchaikovsky, or an Abraham Lincoln, or George Washington, or a Handel, or if you were a Hannibal that tripped the Alps with your elephants, or a Napoleon, a Caesar, a Tsar. No matter who you are, there is no man that hath power over death. And the Bible said there is no discharge in that war. When your time comes, you're going to leave here. I'm here to try to preach to you tonight to get ready. Because you can, if you take adequate preparation, you can live again someday beyond the further star, beyond the planets and the galaxies and the universes unchartered by human telescope. I'm telling you, as Job 14:14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. In Psalms 90, verse 10, for instance, in verse 9 to begin, the Bible said we spend our years as a tale that is told. As a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. You know what I'm planning on doing? When I die, I'm planning on flying away to Jesus. I guess you know by that, I don't believe in soul sleep. The Bible tells me in Philippians 1:23, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. My body may go to the graveyard, the spirit of life to God, but my soul can be in a place of paradisal rest with my Savior, awaiting the resurrection morning when I intend to get a new body. Hallelujah! Psalms 103:15, as for men, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. 1 Peter 1:24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Do you want to hitch your wagon to a star? Do you want to go for immortality? Would you like to go to a land where the rivers never freeze, and the frost never bite, and the roses never fade, and there's no hospitals, there's no jailhouses, there's no tombstones, there's no sorrow? But I'll tell you what you do. Hear the word of the gospel. Everybody say these words. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I believe that's the plan of salvation then. For Peter was given the keys of the kingdom. Matthew 16, 18, 19. It was the answer then. It's the answer now. You've got to have the Holy Ghost to come up out of that grave. Somebody saying, abracadabra, Eli Ilo, sesame, or open sesame, or whatever, isn't going to get the job done. Romans 8:11 said, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. This Holy Ghost is good for more than running the aisles. This Holy Ghost is good for more than healing your body. This Holy Ghost is good for more than revival. It'll resurrect you on the great getting up morning. Hallelujah! I've got a story to tell you. Come and go with me. John chapter 11. Bible said in verse 1, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed Jesus with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now at the risk of leaving the subject a moment, that's a good verse for women to have long hair. But some of you women have a hard time wiping the feet of Jesus with your hair, unless you took it off. But I look at some of you men, and some of you men wouldn't have too hard a time of wiping the feet of Jesus with your hair. I think long hair ought to be on the women and short hair on the men. You want a Bible example? Mary wiped the feet of Jesus with her hair. Some of you going to the beauty shop, the barber shop like a man. Jesus come to your house, you couldn't wipe His feet. Your hair's too short. Let's get back to the ranch. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen, everybody. It was that Mary which anointed Jesus with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When therefore He had heard that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. He didn't just get up and leave. You know, sometimes we think Jesus is our puppet on the string. He's our errand boy. And from 7:30 to 9 during service, He'll do things for us, and we put Him back in the closet like a robot. I believe the Holy Ghost has got its own will, its own program, its own way. And we got to adjust to it. I don't know about you, but I come up here and let the Holy Ghost do something tonight. He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Then after that saith He to His disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto Him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone Thee, and goest Thou thither again? It's not too good for you to go down there. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the light, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. What a story. I won't detour there. Just let me tell you, when you have the light in you, you can walk in this dark world and live for God. Amen, everybody? All right. Jesus said, if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said He, and after that He saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awaken him out of sleep. Then said His disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. We're running around like chickens with our heads off, following you through Judea and Galilee and Samaria and here and there, one night here, one night there. If old Lazarus is getting some rest, he's doing better than we are. That's what they were saying. Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of his taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. I like that about Jesus. Lazarus might have died, but that didn't stop him going on down there and doing what he wanted to do. I believe it is still time for revival. I believe it is still time to be healed. I believe it is still time for God to work miracles. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Oh, to Thomas's everlasting credit, you've got to mark this down for him. He thought he's going to go die. Brother, he just kind of hitched up his belt and said, look, I got to die, I got to die. Here we go. That's the kind of disciples we need. That's the kind of preachers we need. That's the kind of singers we need. That's the kind of people in our churches we need that'll say, whatever God wants, I want. And if I got to shed my life's blood for this, I'll do it. That's what Thomas thought. Now, the Bible said, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Lazarus been in that grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem by about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Big crowd. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. There's a lot of I am to Christ. I am the way, the truth, the life. John 14:6. I am the door. John 10:9. I am that living bread which came down from heaven. John 6:51. I am the true vine. John 15:1. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the worst and last, which is what does, which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1:8. But brother, when I read this one, I get happy. Jesus said, don't you worry about it, Martha. If it's in the graveyard, it don't make any difference. I am the resurrection. I looked at John one day when he saw Jesus in Revelation 1:17. John said, and when I saw him, I fell down at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he which liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And have the keys of hell and of death. How many believe that? Say amen. Jesus had said one time in John 10:17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay my life down. I have power to lay my life down. I have power to lay my life down. And I have power. I got power to pick it up again. I said, that's the kind of God we serve. I said, that's the kind of Holy Ghost I got. Someone said Jesus had to die. I beg your pardon. He didn't have to die. Matthew 26:53, when he came out for him with their lanterns, kind of like with sputtering matches looking for the sun, he said, "Think you not, I cannot presently pray to the Father, and he shall give me more than 12 legions of angels." A legion in Roman days could have been up to 6,000. That's 72,000 angels. And you know, if every one of those angels had the power that one angel had in 2 Kings 19, verse 35, who in one night slew 185,000 Assyrians, multiply 185,000 times 72,000, I've already done it. It's 13,320,000,000. What is that trying to say? That's trying to say, no man taketh it from me. Rome, with her imperial might and army, could not have forced Christ to die. There wasn't enough spears and swords and staves and guillotines and cat o' nine tails to force him to that cross. He went willingly. He died willingly. But let me tell you, on the third day, he rose again. Amen. Well, now Martha, don't get the heebie-jeebies. Don't get all nervous. I am the resurrection and the life. Buried my daddy. I am the resurrection and the life. You buried your wife. Buried your mama. Buried your husband. Buried a child. I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, Lord. You buried a friend. You buried somebody close to you. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Yet, I like his yet. Ain't no grave gonna hold his body down. Yet shall he live. I believe there's life beyond the grave. And that life is in the Holy Ghost. And I'm gonna live again. I'm gonna have a new body. I'm going to dance on a tombstone. Hallelujah. 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 How many of you feel that power here tonight? It's all over the place. My God, let it bless you right now. Yes, Lord. Well, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, some people seized on that not too far from here in Arkansas. He said, if you lived right, you'd never die. That ain't what Jesus meant. You're going to die on how good you live. If Jesus said it. That simply means, when death's dew collects on your brow, when you descend into the foggy bottoms, when you leave your friends behind, and you got to go through the chilly tide of death, you don't need to worry. Death's not going to imprison you. Death's not going to hold you. Death's chains are not going to bind you. The shackles of death are not going to hold you down. If you live for God, death is but a stepping stone to glory. If you live for God, death is but a chariot on its way home. Hallelujah! Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe it. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for you. Mary said, Okay, as soon as I get the wash on the line, as soon as I do the grocery shopping, mop the floors, as soon as I do my canning, Soon as I. That ain't what the Bible said. The Bible said as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now some of you sitting there saying you want a move of God in your church. Some of you sitting there saying you want God to work in your life. And you're so bogged down in trivialities. You are so rotten, low down, bound by meaningless things. If Jesus was to call for you now, you say, Lord, I can't go. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do the other. I say, if we want revival, we've got to respond. Hallelujah. 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 I want Jesus to bless me. And when he calls for me, I want to answer. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha had met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. You hear me, people? When she saw Jesus, she fell at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Church preachers, as humble as I can say it, could I tell you tonight, if we want anything from God, we got to fall at his feet. We got to crucify our pride. We got to fall down and worship him. When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? Oh, let me tell you, if I'd have been Mary, groveling at the feet of Jesus, when I heard him groan, when I knew that he was moved with my tears, and if I'd have heard Jesus say, where have you laid him? I'd have knew then something good was on the way. My brother, if you can touch Jesus with your infirmities, if you can touch Jesus with your problems, if you can touch Jesus with your anxieties, if you can touch Jesus with your neuroses, if you can touch Jesus with your calamity, if you can touch Jesus with your cancer, if you can touch Jesus with your emphysema, if you can touch Jesus with your polio, if you can touch Jesus with your sorrow, he can do something about it. How many believe that tonight? Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Two of the most poignantly beautiful, fathomless words ever put together were spoken next. A volume in a line, an ocean in a reel. The Bible said, Jesus wept. There was something in the emotion of Mary and the kinship with Lazarus that triggered a human response in Jesus. And he began to cry somewhere on the road to Lazarus' tomb. Was it the fleeting reminiscence of the hours of fellowship at his house? Was it Lazarus' profound devotion to his deity? Was it their unmitigated love to him? There was something about that family. There was something about that man that Jesus wept over him. Oh, can I tell you one more time? If Jesus is ever your bosom buddy, if Jesus is ever your friend, if Jesus is ever your lover, if Jesus is ever your guide, if Jesus is ever your counselor, you've got somebody on your side that hell cannot whip, that hell cannot defeat. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Jesus wept. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. Always, always, always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. The people were standing. People were watching. He quit his praise. Bible stands. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice.
one of these great midnight mornings, I'm going to take my grave clothes off. One of these great midnight mornings, I'm going to dance on a tombstone. How many going to dance with me? Come on, let's dance. Come on, let's dance. Dancing on tombstone. I'm gonna dance. One of these mornings, I'm gonna dance. One of these mornings.